Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. After its successful debut run in Nova Scotia this past summer, Lost and Found Theatre Company members Christy Ziss and Hannah Ziss are bringing their play The Young Ladies of Bedeck Club to the Waterloo region. The play is part of the company's Fascinating Women series, which features work by, about, but not necessarily for women. With us tonight via phone is playwright and actor Christy Ziss to talk about the play. But before we get to our conversation with Christy, let's take a listen to We Are One from the City Harmonic's newest CD, We Are. Christy Ziss. Good evening, Christy.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
I'm good. Now, it's been a while since we've talked, so I want to give our listeners, especially some that might not have heard our discussions before, a little bit of interest in background about you. When did you become interested in acting?
Oh, that's going way back, Robert. I think I still remember that the first thing I ever did was a musical called Lil Abner, which is so dated now. I think back to that piece and laugh. I don't think many people want to do that piece anymore. And that was in grade 10 in high school. I was fortunate enough to go to a high school that did a great musical every single year. And I had seen some of their work when my older brother was in that high school when I was in grade 6. And I remember just counting the years from grade 6 to grade 10 until I could audition and be in a piece like that as well.
So what sort of led you to that point from going from there to saying, hey, I'm going to do this as a vocation?
Well, it wasn't a direct line by any means. I guess I continued to do things through high school, as lots of people do. And then, again, was also fortunate enough to do a languages degree at Mount Allison University in New Brunswick. And although I think they might have a proper theater program now, back then it was just part of my French and German language studies that I got involved in a French language theater group. And from there went into the English language side of things as well. And there were just two amazing directors at Mount Allison University at that time. And they had a really terrific small black box theater, Windsor Theater it was known as. And yeah, for any of you Mount Allison fans out there, you'll remember all of this. And these two gentlemen, Alex Fancy, Arthur Mocher, they were just terrific training grounds for me for the 4 years that I spent at Mount Allison. And then from there, I some people I was working with at the time, you know, we toyed with continuing in that way. But I decided to go off and live in Germany for a while, and then I continued to do some theater over in Europe, in Germany for that year. And then came back, did a master's in German literature, and then I went to law school, and I was still doing a lot of theater, sometimes more theater than studying on the sides. And then I practiced law in Australia for 10 years. And then I came back here, and so pretty late in life, actually, decided to just get into doing theater work full-time.
Well, as you've been going along and along that journey, who have been, you mentioned the directors at Mount Allison, but who have been some of the influences along the way that have sort of helped you hone your craft and develop what you've been doing?
I think certainly those two gentlemen from Mount Allison all those years ago were seminal, but I guess I feel like probably every single job you take on, there are takeaways from them all, and you rub shoulders with directors or other actors, and or even not even something that you're working on yourself, but something, you know, you go to theater and you watch theater and you watch other professionals at work, and you see what they do and you see what they don't do, and you just can gain so much from that. I think coming more locally, I know I've spoken about this with you in the past, Robert, with someone like Richard Quinnell with Lost and Found Theater, who was such an encourager a few years ago when I was deciding to try and do this full time, and has continued to be that for me, you know, through these last few years for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, along the way too, you started doing some playwriting, and what we're going to be talking about in a couple of minutes, the Young Ladies of Bedeck Club, is a play that you've written as well. When did you begin playwriting?
I guess I dabbled. Oh gosh, I'm trying to think of the. Like so many of us, we all sort of dabble in writing small bits and pieces. For a few years, this is going back a while ago as well, I was running the drama ministry at Grandview Church. And as part of the drama ministry work that we would do over there, and that was a lot, inserting small, you know, 7-8 minute sketches into the services, we would draw on what was out there in the world, obviously, or I would take pieces that, with permission, I could tweak according to what our needs were for a particular service, but then started writing from scratch, sometimes more out of desperation than anything, and having a few hits with that, lots of misses. And from there, quite a few years later, with Gary Sharp, who is the worship pastor down at Forward Church, he approached me and said, I was wondering if you'd like to consider doing an adaptation of, you know, a passion play or the Easter story or, you know, that sort of thing. So with the Bible behind me, obviously, I decided to put together a full-length piece, and Gary came on board to do the music side of that. And I wrote a piece that we just call it the Cambridge Easter Passion, but it's really a story with the sisters Mary and Martha at the helm. And so I think that was the first major piece of writing, or adapted writing, I guess, I got involved in. That's what I was doing.
Well, as you've been doing that, and as you've been developing it, and I can identify with the being involved in a drama team and starting to do your own stuff, because that's sort of where I've gone as well in some of the things that I've been doing. Who have been your influences in trying to write plays and looking at that type of thing?
I don't know. I guess I'm not really sure how to answer that one as well, because I feel like, you know what? I honestly, I cannot point to a single particular influence. I think I read a lot. I read widely. I read tons of, just literature, both popular and classics. I read plays. I don't know that I read as many plays as I probably should, but over the years I've read quite a few, obviously. This is a bad part of the interview. I'm not able to give you a really good answer to that.
That's okay. I think sometimes it's just it's an osmosis thing, you know, as you're involved in the process and that you don't really, you're just pulling from everywhere and anything that you come in contact with.
Yeah.
Well, what we're going to do is let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk with actor Christy Ziss, and I'm going to look at a little bit of detail on the latest play that she did write along with her daughter. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
It's true love that loves when I failed. Oh, how you love me. I hide you dead down the veil. Oh, how you love me. I've tried and tried to do it all on my own still. Oh, how you love me. Till I learned to fall down.
Harmonic's new CD, We Are. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Christy Ziss. So let's get into this, Christy. Where did the idea for the Young Ladies of Bedeque Club come from?
The idea came from a sweet little book called Historic Bedeque that my cousin gave to me, and my cousin lives outside Bedeque and in Cape Breton Island. And she gave it to me for my birthday a couple of years ago, and it's a pictorial history of this town in the center of Cape Breton Island. And I remember sort of just, you know, flipping through it and picking up bits and pieces here and there and putting it down and then, you know, keep picking it up from time to time, but not with any real strong, to be honest, not with any real strong interest. I thought, oh, nice to have a little book about the history of Bedeque. And then a few years later, when I had been toying for a long, long time with wanting to create some form of professional theater in the summers in Cape Breton, where there really wasn't any in this wonderful town where I spent most of my summers growing up, that I started thinking about, you know, what would be a great inaugural piece here. And of course, the much simpler and much smarter thing would have been to take, a published piece that... You know, there's so many great plays out there, and to have done that one. But no, I decided perhaps for this first go at it, it might be good to do something that was really, really specific to the village of Bedeque. And so I picked this book up again, and a photograph in particular caught my eye, and it was a photo circa 1910 of a group of ladies, and you can go onto our website, Theater Bedeck, and you can see the photograph there. And these ladies are dressed in a, they're sort of a motley crew carrying or holding a strange assortment of, I guess, props is what you're going to call it, and they're wearing, I guess, you might call it a sort of costuming. And there was just something about it that struck me, and it was kind of funny. And the byline of the photo is that a group from the Young Ladies of Bedeck Club performing a play circa 1910. And I had never heard of the Young Ladies of Bedeck Club, but I quickly realized that it was the old and first name of the longest-running women's club in Canada, called, which is now called the Bell Club. So I just started to do some digging around about this this club, who they were, what they did, when they started, who started them. And, it went from there.
Well, without any spoilers in that, what's the story about? What's the play about?
This is a story of a subset of the Young Ladies of Bedeck Club in the summer of 1908, Bedeck, Cape Breton Island. And there are four of the club members have come together for the purpose of doing something special to celebrate the incorporation of the village of Bedeck. So these ladies have been charged with the task of, you know, what will the club do as part of these festivities? And for a couple of reasons that I won't bother revealing, because you should come and see the play to find out, they end up deciding that what they're going to do is a play, and it's going to be a play about Bedeck. And, of course, the biggest problem is these four ladies have never seen a play, never been in a play, don't know how to write a play, don't know how to do anything. So there was lots of art imitating life in this piece, as the two of the four characters are a mother and a daughter, and they've got their own conflicts going on big time between them. And the other two cast members are just two other young ladies who are friends of the daughter. And the four of them are completely hapless. They don't know how to do this. They don't know what they're doing. And, of course, there's all this mother-daughter conflict in the midst of it all. So it's all a bit of a hilarious romp through Bedeck history, tweaking here and there to meet the purposes of the story and the plot. That's pretty much it.
Well, you talked about life imitating art. You worked with your daughter, Hannah, on this, both as an actor, and did she help you with the script as well?
Oh, my goodness, yes. We were completely co-authors of this. I could not, this play wouldn't exist without her. We ended up being quite good writers together. Again, I sometimes think it's only madness that makes you start putting these sorts of projects together. Hannah had been involved in theater through her high school years with me and without me, and then decided to go off and do her BFA down in Windsor. And I sort of, when I had this idea percolating about wanting to do some sort of theater down in Cape Breton, I thought, well, I'll wait till she graduates with her theater degree and grab her before she gets too busy with her career. So that's what we did. She graduated a year ago, June, and we spent all of last year plotting and planning and writing and rewriting again. And I didn't know what kind of writers we'd be together, but we were amazingly sympathetic. We fought a lot, but we seemed to fight in a healthy way about things. And we had tons of differences, but in many, many ways were surprisingly on the same page about what it was we were trying to achieve.
Well, looking at that, what were your thoughts and your feelings as Hannah was telling, you know, started telling you that she wanted to get into the theater world as well? Was there a sense to say, you know, maybe you shouldn't, or were you totally supportive?
I'm probably going to surprise the audience out there and say I was totally supportive. So often you hear people who themselves are involved in theater or film and television work saying, no, I just really hope none of my children get involved in this. But I have to say, when Hannah expressed an interest in this, I really wanted to support her. She was an extremely strong student at school and could have chosen and still can choose to do anything she wanted to do. But this was something that she felt pretty passionate about, and I didn't want to stifle that. I wouldn't go so far as to say that my own parents did this, that to me, as in did not encourage me to go into the arts as any kind of a profession. They didn't come out and say so, and I didn't push hard enough, but I did grow up in a family where academics were extremely highly valued, and moving on to higher education was very highly valued, leading to, you know, proper employment. Anyway, I know I grew up with that mindset. And so I think, as I mentioned earlier, when I was approached by people I was doing theater with saying, hey, let's go on and continue doing this. And I can remember feeling that this would not be what my parents wanted, and this was not the way I was raised, and that it was fine to keep this on the sidelines as a project. And I guess on some level, I didn't want to send that same message in any way to my own daughter. Having said that, I just pray that she does manage to have a great, strong, thriving career in this, but it's so terribly hard. But she's got an amazing head on her shoulders and is very clear-sighted about the arts and about the challenges that trying to make a life out of that presents. So I'm just going to trust her that she's going to, you know, give it a go, give it her best shot, and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm. And did you give her any kind of advice as she was embarking on this journey?
Yeah, quite a lot of advice, some of which, here's a small, foolish bit of advice. I said, please try not to fall in love with a fellow actor, because, I know that for me, it's really hard to go it as a single actor as a twosome, but if I didn't have the supportive spouse that I have, I don't know. I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So I always think that couples that both of whom are trying to make a living in the arts, I just think they are kind of heroes out there trying to make it as a twosome out there in the world. So that's my Jane Austen sort of economic outlook on it all.
Well, let's take a final break, and then we're going to come back and finish our conversation with Christy Zisk. I'm your host, Robert White, and you listen to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Arts Connection, you've been listening to Shout from We Are, the latest CD by the City Harmonic. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to wrap up our conversation with actor Christy Zisk. What was the reaction to the young ladies of Bedeck Club as you opened in Bedeck itself?
It was great. I have to tell you, it was great. In my wildest dreams, I didn't expect this first go at this brand new script to be as warmly accepted as it was, so that was extremely gratifying. I was kind of a little bit terrified, actually, that at the heart of this story, or well, I shouldn't say at the heart, but one of the many themes of this story is this idea that the real history of a place lies in the people and the stories that grow up as part of, and that's what actually creates their history. And so storytelling and the importance of storytelling and is kind of at the heart of it. And that is so true of Cape Bretoners and Cape Breton Island. I grew up falling asleep at night in my summer cottage, listening to my own father, a Cape Bretoner, and my uncles and aunts sitting around in the living room right outside the bedroom door, loud, very loudly, laughing and telling stories until the wee hours of the morning. And that's my memory of going to bed at night as a child. And all these amazing, hilarious Cape Breton stories, most of which I've completely forgotten. I guess, you know, I used to lie there going, here we go again. There's that story from Uncle Peter again. And I'm so sad to say that I hardly remember any of them. But this piece actually has lots of small stories injected all through it, some of which are sort of based on stories that I've known or learned over the years, some of which are completely fabricated by us, Hannah and I. And I think there was a part of me that was fearful, I guess, that local true Cape Bretoners would feel that I was, that somehow this was a pretender, that it wasn't, you know, that it didn't really truly capture the flavor of living in Cape Breton. And to have people tell me otherwise was extremely gratifying.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's being performed locally. When and where is that taking place?
Yes, we have, we're doing it one night only here in Kitchener on October 5th. That's a Monday night, so not your standard theater night around town. But we're doing it Monday night at the main KPL library in their new auditorium, their brand new space down in the basement. And we're starting at 7 o'clock in the evening, so a nice early start for a weeknight, so that everyone's out the door by 9 o'clock and no one has to feel like they have to stay up too late on a Monday night.
And where can people get details about this?
On our website, lostandfoundtheatre.ca. All the details are there. Certainly it's being advertised through KPL Library System itself, so their In Touch magazine has a bit of a blurb on it as well, I think. But probably the best information is lostandfoundtheatre.ca.
Great. Well, Christy, thanks very much for your time tonight.
So nice to chat to you, Robert. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today and thinking of my guest, Christy Ziss. If you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website, artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter @CELA13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.